Well, this morning we're going to talk about something that many of us struggle with, patience. But we're not talking as much about our patience as we are the patience of our Creator, of which we are all extremely grateful for. And if you want to go ahead and look in your copy of God's Word, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's where we'll be this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. And even though it says 2 through 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 so you get the whole context. If you would, in honor of reading God's Word, would you stand with me this morning? 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Give you a chance to find that. The apostle is writing this letter to Christians scattered across Asia Minor and the rest of the Roman Empire at this time. And he says these words to them. He says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for the fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. And the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the apostle as he speaks to us today, for his faithfulness. And we just thank you, Lord, that you would use this time and use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to each of us, your people today, that we might hear from your heart and hear what we need to hear to apply and use to grow and become the men and women of God you've designed us to be. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when we talk about patience, and I think of patience, a lot of things come to mind. And as our family's getting ready to go on a family vacation, you know, those are fun times. I can remember my family growing up, we would take trips, and a lot of times we lived in Hutchinson, Kansas at the time, and we would drive to Sedalia, Missouri, which is where my grandparents lived before we moved there a few years later. And I remember it was about a 300-mile drive, most of that in Kansas. So let me say that again. Most of that is in Kansas. If you've ever driven through Kansas, you understand my pain. But anyway, so you can imagine as a small child, we're driving there, and you know, we'd often pick my dad up at work when he was done with work, and then on a Friday, and then make the drive, and he would drive basically straight through. We'd get there about 11 o'clock or so at night, and I remember, though, I was that child in the car that would ask that question that you have been asked if you've traveled with children before in your car that drives you crazy. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Are we there yet? And I would say, how far have, and so I got in trouble for that question, so I would say, how far have we gone? And oftentimes my father would say, well, son, we've gone about 2 minutes farther than the last time you asked that question. And he said, he had this deal with me where, I'll tell you when we've gone so many miles. And of course, before we had gone so many miles, you know what I would ask. And it was just kind of, as I think of that, I think about how challenging that probably was for my father and how I'm grateful he was a compassionate man and very merciful, because there are times he probably wanted to pull over the side of the road and show me that that was not the way you behave on a long trip. But anyway, I could think of that. And patience is something we struggle with, whether it's driving in traffic or whether it's things in our lives. We're waiting a lot of times. I don't know if you've been in the doctor's office and waited longer than you should. Anybody? Many of you, yes. You know, you had that appointment at 2 o'clock and now it's 3:25 and we were wondering, am I getting in the doctor's office today? And we get frustrated. And I know many of you have that wonderful drive back and forth to either Baltimore or D.C. early in the morning. And you know all about patience and traffic. And, you know, things are going along well and then something happens and then 270 or 70 becomes a parking lot. And, you know, you're like, okay, let's go. But patience is something that we struggle with as people. A lot of times, I think, for us, is because we can't see all things. We don't see and understand. But God sees all. He sees all of existence, all of history, as if it's happening right now. I mean, there's no, and that's what that verse there in verse 8 says, is with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's trying to say, You know, time means nothing to God. Time means everything to us. We get really focused on time, don't we? You know, we're today you're focused on time. You will tell me if I went over of my usual time, you know, right? And you know, lunch is awaiting and all the different things that are going on, and you know, we get focused on that, and we're very much about time happening. We like things to be the way we want them to be because they're supposed to be in an orderly fashion, and there's a time for some things and a time for not. It's like I remember the first time I preached, a lady in the church said, "I like you." I said, "Well, that was good." She says, "You know when to start and you know when to quit." And the last one is very important. She said, "You need to know when to quit. You need to know when to stop." And so I said, "Okay, thank you very much." And of course, that was many years ago. And I just remember that comment. And I try to remember to do that and respect your time. But I also know that God is patient with us. And God's time is a little different than ours. Have you noticed that? God does things oftentimes in accordance with his timing. And we're like, "God, come on, hurry up." We've got so preconditioned, I think, in our culture with the fast food mentality. Like, we get upset if we're in the fast food line more than 3 minutes, right? You know, I want my whatever now, whether, I don't know what your fast food choice is, which, you know, chicken or hamburgers or whatever. But we get all upset about that, you know, because we want it now. And we've kind of been conditioned to that, I think, somewhat in our prayer life and our walk with God. We expect God to do things right when we ask him. You know, you make a request and, "Okay, God, I'm ready for the answer." And yet God does things in his own timing. And I think we could learn a little bit from our Latin brothers and sisters. I've been on mission trips in Central and South America. And one thing I will say for the Latin people is they have no clue what time is. I'm being honest with you here. We would do a conference, and the conference was supposed to start at 10 o'clock on a morning, 10 o'clock. They would start showing up around 11. I'm not exaggerating. I have witnesses. If you want, I'll let them tell you. 11 o'clock, and I was told by those that had been there before that that's common. And so we were there at 11, and then when they get there, of course, they're hungry because they've traveled, and many of them walked miles or ridden, you know, various forms of public transportation, some that are not legal in most countries. You know, the back of a pickup truck is not legal transportation, but that's the way many of them would ride. I'm just talking about that's the way it was. And they would get there, and you know, when we got there, of course, they were hungry, so we had to have a snack. Well, it was 11, so you know what's right after snack time, right? Then we'd have lunch, and then the conference would start usually around 1 o'clock. That's when we would start. And, you know, of course, the Germanic part of my life is like, "I want this to start, you know, that I want time, you know, that's what we do." But I learned in experiencing that there's an element of freedom there, is they just didn't really worry about it. Because the other side of that is, though, my conference was only supposed to last an hour. If I went 30 minutes over, or even if I doubled the time, no problem. They were good with that. Now, that would not happen in this country, would it? If I went 30 minutes over, I would know. I wouldn't make it to 30 minutes over, and I would know. But, I mean, that's the way they were. And I kind of appreciated that. I learned to appreciate that view of time because it is a very cultural thing, the way we respond to that. And I think we allow a lot of that to infect the way we look at the way God operates. When time is not an issue to you, as it is not an issue to our Creator, he operates in accordance with the way that he deems best. At the time, he intervenes when he finds it best. Jesus came at the right time. Can you imagine what it was like for the children of Israel who were told that a deliverer was coming? They waited 400 years, folks. 400 years is a long time to wait. Would you agree with that? For anything, 400 years is a long time, and many of those that were hoping for the promise never saw the promise. I mean, that's longer than this country has been a nation. And they waited. And at the right time, in God's timing, in God's plan, he sent a deliverer, that being Moses. God's really, one of the things I notice in Scripture again and again is God's all about timing in our lives. And a lot of times he will encourage us to wait on him. And he wants us to be patient. And the other side of that is that God is extremely patient with us. If God were not patient with us and decided that we needed to receive the penalty for our sin at the due time, there wouldn't be any of us left. Right? But he's patient and he shows mercy. And that's what, look again at those verses, those last two verses of the text that I just read a second ago to you, a few minutes ago, actually it is. See, I don't even know anything about time anymore. I'm losing track of time. But it talks about, do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. Just in time doesn't mean anything. And I love verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. You know, you ever hear that? And he talked about that in the first part where they were mocking him. There are mockers will come. And people say, well, God's been saying he's coming. He's going to straighten this mess out for a long time. Where is he? When's God going to do what God, when's God going to bring judgment on the people of this world that have rebelled against him? When's God going to fix things and get it all right? When's he going to do that? When he's ready. In his timing. But people still mock him. And he said, that's okay. I'm all right with that. Let them come. Let them say what they want to say. Don't worry about them. Don't listen to them. And the second half of verse 9 is why he waits. Did you see that? He is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's patience is an opportunity for mercy. God is willing to wait to give other people the opportunity to come to him and to respond to him and to experience that life-transforming experience of salvation in his life. He is waiting for that person, that one person that just doesn't want, is not ready. They need to hear it one more time, which happens in a lot of times, doesn't it? And maybe today you're that one person that God's waiting on before he moves in the life of others. I don't know. I mean, the one thing I'll guarantee you, I am not God, and I don't have a clue what God's doing, and that's all right. He is God, he is Lord, he is sovereign. He will do exactly what he desires to do in the timing that he chooses. And his timing is always perfect. You and I may not agree with it. We may not think it's perfect. We think it takes a little while, but once again, our perspective is very limited. We live 80, 100 years, if we're lucky, on this planet. And that's the life that we know. That's what we understand. And yeah, we can understand that experience by reading history books, but that really doesn't help us understand time. I mean, to fathom what it's like to view time from God's perspective is literally impossible. But we try and think we do, and we think we know better than God. You know, we only got so much time here. God, hurry up, God. Come on. You can tell God hurry up all you want, folks, but I can tell you what, he's not going to hurry one bit for you or for me. He's going to do things in accordance with his plan and his timing. And the children of Israel pleaded and begged for deliverer, and he waited 400 years, and then he sent Moses. Now, Moses wasn't perfect. I don't want to, you know, there's some that make you think that, but if you looked at Moses, what kind of guy he was, he had a record. He had a past. He had a history. Some things he did that were not very ethical. I'm not saying anything that the scripture doesn't say. You can read it yourself and see the kind of person. And yet God redeemed him and delivered him and used him to deliver a nation. And also gave him the word, the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, the law that they were to lay down and to live by, the understanding of what it meant to follow God. He did all those things through Moses, but they had to wait for that time. And yet, God waits for us, it says here, doesn't it? He is patient, not wishing for any to perish. Did you catch that? See, God's desire, God does not receive joy or pleasure in condemning people to hell. Okay? That's not the heart of God, is it? Yes, God is a just God. He will merit justice as is deserved. He will punish people. He will do those things because he is justice, right, and true. But the heart of God is laid out quite clearly here in this text that he is not wishing for any to perish. He wants everybody to come to him. That's his desire. He knows it's not going to happen because he knows people are people. And he lets let people have that free will to decide for themselves if they will trust in God or not. But his desire is that all come to him. Jesus came and died on the cross for all. Not all receive him. I know that. But God's will was that all would have an opportunity to receive him. Does that make sense? And his patience bears that out because his patience shows that he is willing to wait on us because he loves us. And just like he asked us to wait on him and our willingness to show patience and to show, you know, a trust in is a form of faith, isn't it? Patience is in our Creator. That we know that he will accomplish his will in his time and I'm going to wait for him to do what he needs to do. Even if it drives me crazy, I'm going to wait. Now, fortunately, we can't drive God crazy. But he waits on us too, doesn't he? Have you thought about that lately, that God's waiting on you and me? He waits on us. He trusts us with something so significant, so important, that means so much to us, but also a lot to him. Because it's all about his mercy here. His desire is that all come to repentance. That he draws us to himself. His desire is that we experience the goodness of his grace, the joy of his mercy, the deliverance that comes from salvation. He wants all to experience. He's God. So, okay, there's the things about God that I'm not going to get, and neither are you. Okay, are we all right with that? Are we good? I mean, he's above and beyond us. There are things about the mind of God that we will try as we like, and theologians love to write books about it and make themselves look smart and only end up making themselves look stupid because we don't know. He's God. He's been around. He's doing this. He's been doing this. He's been around forever, and he knows who he is, and he knows what he's doing, and I can't fully grasp it, but I've got to trust that he can. And that's the heart of where Peter is going for these believers. Because, see, Peter's writing this at a time when the church is about to enter, it's already started to enter a time of persecution. They've had the Neronian persecutions. You remember Nero, the really crazy guy, and some of the things. That's who Paul was killed under his persecutions. And there were other emperors that would come along, and Peter's warning them, you're going to have some difficult times, but you've got to remember that God still loves you even when you're going through hard times. Even when it's difficult, even when it's painful, God has not given up on you. He still cares, and trust him in that process. Allow him to work in and through you. Be patient with him as he is patient, more than abundantly patient with you. And when I think of this, I'm reminded in my own life of a lot of times when God was patient with me. And if we were to go around the room, we could probably get a few testimonies from some of you that God has shown you patience in your walk with him. When he's waited on me, when I wasn't where I needed to be at that point, and yet God showed me mercy, God showed me time and said, okay, Mike, I'm going to wait till you get this. And I'm grateful for that patience and that mercy. And Peter wanted these believers as well as us today to understand that patience and mercy are signs of love. They're signs of the character of God. They're demonstrations of who he is and what he seeks to accomplish in and through our lives. Because God desires a relationship with his children. He wants us to know him. Now, I don't know if that fact has been so talked about and so trivialized that the overwhelming, spectacular awe of that reality has ever gripped your spirit yet. That the creator of the universe, the one who spoke all that is into existence, the one that has abundant power to do whatever he wants at any point in time, wants to know you and me. Have a relationship. At any time, because of Jesus Christ, you and I can go to the throne of grace and speak to the creator of the universe. Does that seem strange to anyone else? Can you call up the president today? How many filters would you have to get through to get there? And I'm not saying the president, that's an important office, right? I mean, that's significant. But I think God's is a little higher. Would you agree with me? And any time he's available. That just wows me. I don't know what that does for you. And that no matter what I'm doing in life, when I'm not on the path that he has for me, a lot of times he waits. He tries to correct. He tries to lead. He tries to point me in the proper direction. And sometimes I listen. And sometimes with the Missouri in me, kind of the stubbornness in me kind of comes out and I don't listen. But he's patient with me. And I'm so grateful for that. And he's patient with all of us in the kingdom. You say, well, does he have an end to that patience? Oh, eventually it will come to an end. That's what Judgment Day is all about, folks. And that's what it prefaces here. He says that day's coming. That day came for the children. You know, and he preferenced Noah. You remember Genesis, the people of the earth, we were kind of acting goofy and doing some really, well, goofy's a nice way of putting it. A lot of sin, horrible things they were doing. And God decided to judge the earth. And he put Noah out in the middle of the dry land building a boat. And not a bass boat. Not a yacht. But something that would dwarf a battleship. A big one, you remember. You've read it. It's in Genesis. And he builds this giant boat, and there's no water anywhere, but there's a boat out there in the middle of nowhere. Think about how that looked for a minute. Just let that mind, you've seen that dramatized out in some movies and cartoons and things of that, but the reality of that. And people made fun of Noah, I'm sure. And he kept telling them, you need to prepare, you need to get ready. The time of God's judgment is at hand. God told me to do this, that's why I'm doing it. Some of them listened. I don't know if any of them listened, but Noah and his family. And I always wonder what that was like with Noah and his sons-in-law, and they were working on it. I wonder how they felt about that. You know, I know it doesn't say that in Scripture, but you know there had to be some challenges out there in the hot sun when you're building a boat, wouldn't you think? But they remained faithful to the task. They stayed the course. They built the boat. And then what happened? Judgment came. It came in the form of rain and floods. Many people died. Many animals died. It was a horrific scene. But those on the ark were spared. They all had the same amount of years to build their boats. You realize that, don't you? They had plenty of time. This took over 100 years. I don't know how people live that long and function, because I know if I live 100 years, I'm definitely not going to be building a boat in 100 years. I'm just going to tell you that. If I make it that much longer, I will not have the ability to build even one out of popsicle sticks. It won't happen. It's just not going there, okay? I won't have that ability. But God is patient. He was patient with the people of Noah's day. He's patient in our day, knowing that the time of judgment is coming. He's waiting on us. And I know that frustrates us sometimes because we want God to make things right now. We want him to fix the mess that we have in our world today. Would you agree with me that we have a mess in our culture? I mean, what happened here just a few days ago or in two different parts of our country where we had these shootings and crazy stuff that happens. And you know, while that happened in the city of Chicago that very same day, 11 people were killed and nobody cared or noticed. Isn't that sad? That happens every weekend in some places. We have that same issue not far from us here. We have violence and crime, people murdered. And people don't, we've become so immune to it, so numb to it, that we forget the reality of what's happened. Do you agree with that? Well, that needs to change, doesn't it? Come on, God, change it. And why is God waiting? That's why he's waiting. He doesn't want any to perish. He's giving opportunity for repentance to bring in one more. And that's our job, to share the good news so that others may know. That's part of what the mission team is going to be about this week. That's part of what you and I have opportunity to do every day as we encounter people in this community or wherever we find ourselves. So we may share the good news that they may know. And God is waiting for those people to turn to him. It's a great act of love by our Creator that he is waiting. He is patiently waiting. And gives them that opportunity, just as he gave us that opportunity. God waited on you and me, didn't he? How many of you accepted the gospel the first time you heard it? Some of you may have. I didn't. I heard it so many times. Of course, I was a child. I was raised in a home. My parents shared it with me on a regular basis. I saw it in flannel boards, so you know, hey, can't beat that, right? That's better than a tablet. No, it's not. But anyway, it looked cool at the time when you're seven, it's cool, okay? But the reality is, the beauty of it is that God was waiting on me, just like he waited on you. And then finally, the eyes were open, the spirit and the heart made sense, and you finally saw what God was doing and what God had been trying to say to you all along, and you finally said, okay, God, I get it. And God changed your life. And there may be some today that haven't crossed that bridge yet, and God's still calling out to you because he loves you and he's waiting on you. Because he loves you, and he's patient, and he's merciful. So you say, what do you do with a thought like this, a message like this in a world today that desperately needs to hear of the life-transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I am so incredibly grateful that God is patient, that he waits, that he doesn't act when I think he should, or when you think he should either. And the beauty of that is, that the glory of that is that you and I get to experience his goodness in ways that we never would have before. Several years ago, and I may have told this before, I'm going to tell it again, I was in a church in Missouri, in St. Joe, Missouri, and we had a lady in our church named Esther. Esther's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Esther's husband, and they were married at the time, I knew him for almost 50 years. Esther was faithful. She was in the church every time the doors opened. She was in the WMU. We had other groups that she was involved in, prayer meeting, you name it, the doors opened, Esther was there. Every time we had services, unless if she wasn't there, she was sick. That was the only time Esther wasn't there, but her husband would not come. And I and other deacons and another pastor, and we'd been out to visit him and share the gospel with him. And a lot, I remember the last time that I talked to him, got to share the gospel, and he's like, you know, that's really good, Brother Mike, but you know, I'm just not quite ready. I think I'll wait a little longer. He was 76 at the time. And kept praying. And Esther, you know Esther prayed. Had a new pastor come in, and we went again to visit, and I went, one of the deacons went with the pastor's time. I didn't get to go this time, but the Holy Spirit at the right time, her husband was ready. And he prayed to receive Christ, and he was getting rather feeble in his age. He was 77 at that point, and we were going to do a baptism, and I don't know what it is with Baptist churches and baptistries and why we design them up. So we can fit the tank, is that what it is? But we had them farther than this. I think the steps had to be twice as high as these because it seemed like forever because we had to carry him up the steps. About five of us carried him up the steps. He couldn't make it himself, so we carried him up the steps to the baptistry. Pastor was waiting, and of course, then you had to carry him back down all wet, but you know, that's just the way it was. But I remember I was able to do that, and there was kind of a little spot there in the baptistry where I could see the crowd, and I could see Esther sitting out there. And you know how those moments you wish you could capture and share forever? And I know the smile on her face and the joy you could see expressed in her was incredible. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I think of patience, I think of her. She was faithful, she loved her husband, she did everything he didn't want, but she kept sharing with him, and others kept sharing with him. And the day finally came when he finally came to receive Christ. It was a great day of celebration in that little church and in our lives, but especially in Esther and her husband's life. And I'm grateful that God was patient with him, aren't you? And God is patient with you and me as well. And sometimes it's for salvation. He's patient. And sometimes it's because God has a plan for us and he wants us to do something, but we don't think we're ready yet. Anybody been there? We're like, okay, God, I'm not sure I want to do this just yet. You know, I need more, you know, everybody needs more training or more experience or whatever. And God's like, no, I want you to do it now. No, I got to wait. And I don't know what that may be for you. There may be something God's nudging on your spirit right now. He's saying, I've been telling you to do this. And you need to move. You need to be a part of that. You need to surrender and do what I've asked you to do. And you're like, you know, God, I'm not ready yet. But he's patient. And all I can tell you is what I remember Esther's husband told us after he was baptized. And usually when people come out of the baptistry, they're not weeping, but he was. And I'll never forget this. And he said, you know, I should have done this years ago. What did I wait for? He got it in those moments. He finally figured it out. And I think for us, a lot of things that we do in our walk with him, when we hold back and we don't fully surrender, we're like, God, really? What are you doing? Leave me alone. Let me just do what I do. And God's like, no, come on, child. And because of his patience, he waits on us. Because of his goodness and his kindness, he waits for us till we're ready. And then when we surrender, we're like, why didn't we do that sooner? What were we waiting on? What was holding us back? And so I ask you that question this morning. What are you waiting on? What's holding you back from really allowing God to do what he wants to do in your life today? To fully surrender to him and say, God, okay, whatever you want, this life is yours. Do with it what you will. And I don't know what that is for you, but I know the Holy Spirit does. And if you're feeling that gnawing at your soul right now and you're kind of getting a little uncomfortable and someone's talking to you, that's not me, okay? I'm not that smart. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. And he's doing that because he loves you. And he's waiting on you to surrender. And I can share this from the depth of my heart without a moment's hesitation. You will not regret surrendering your life to Jesus. You will not regret it. Because that opens up a relationship that is unlike anything else on planet, probably in the universe. I don't know if there's other relationships outside of planet Earth, but I know it's better than anything on planet Earth. That's all I know. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that he waited on me till the time was right. Maybe the time is right for you today. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimony of the apostle, his faithfulness, his desire to speak to our hearts, your willingness to listen to us, to be patient with us, and to move when you are ready. Lord, I pray if one here today needs to surrender their life to you, I pray today would be the day. It's as good a day as any. Or if there's someone here that has an issue in their life that they know they need to turn over to you and allow you to have complete lordship over and control in that area of life, that today would be the day. There's no better day than today. Lord, take and use this time in whatever way you desire, because this time, like all time, you are Lord over it. And while this is just a few moments for us, it's an opportunity for eternal business to be taken care of, and I pray we take that very seriously as you use it. May you be blessed and exalted by anything and all that is said and done today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.